The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Bridget.
And you're listening to Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Today's episode is around a topic that I think we all might have a little experience with, nipples.
You know,
nipples. The things on your chest, right? I mean, what's interesting is that we all have them. It's this thing that we all have. Yet, you might be surprised to find that nipples are legislated, nipples are argued about, nipples are banned from various social media platforms. There have been people advocating to free the nipple. You know, have your nipples be loud right. And proud displayed. And so today we're going to be diving into the weeds of these things on our chest, why they can cause such an uproar, and what folks are doing about it. Yeah, they're titillating.
One might even say.
So I was actually quite surprised. This is not an issue that I think about a lot. I tend to keep my shirt on when I'm in public for the most part. So it's not an issue that I thought about until sort of thinking about how strange it was that a friend of mine who posted a picture on social media of her breastfeeding, that picture was taken down. And she put it back up on social media, and then her Facebook page was banned. She was temporarily banned from Facebook because of this image. This was kind of a while ago. Facebook has since, I think, shifted their nipple policies a little bit. But I found that to be so strange. And I mostly just thought it was interesting how we have this big uproar over, you know, these two little bits of skin.
Right. And it's definitely got some cross sections when it comes to gender. Obviously plays a huge role in this because we must be explicit in mentioning that men's nipples don't get removed from Instagram or Facebook.
They do not.
Men can walk around topless today, although we're going to talk about how that wasn't always the case, without getting arrested, without causing an uproar. And yet, there's also an element of motherhood that's kind of interesting here,
yeah.
Right? The functional use of nipples is somehow more tolerable in the public space than the non-functional
use. Like, we're fine if it's sexualized. If it's a sexualized woman's body, we're less fine if it's not the same thing. We're not thinking about it in the same way. I remember being, maybe I was 9, and I have brothers and male cousins and all of that. I remember we had gone to the park, and we were all, my dad used to do this thing where he would let us run through the sprinklers when it was like nice. And I remember on the way back, you know, it's summertime, our shirts were all clammy and wet, and my cousins and my brother, they'd all taken their shirts off. And I remember thinking, oh, like, well, I should take, and then, you know, I was a kid, I was very flat-chested. I must have been like 9.
Okay.
So like, not much going on upstairs. And when I took my shirt off, it was like so quickly apparent that I had made a huge error in judgment.
That's so interesting.
And, you know, we didn't look that different. Like,
right.
My cousin, my brother, like shirtless, we pretty much all looked the same. Yet for me, it was clearly I had made a huge mistake. Like, I think it was okay until I think as women, perhaps we hit an age
right.
where it like becomes not okay.
But isn't it interesting at 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old girls or whatever it might be, and maybe it's from birth in some families, it is already, you are already aware in the back seat when you're wearing an uncomfortably clammy shirt, you're already being told that it is not okay for your little child nipples to be out next to the little boy nipples. Isn't that fascinating?
Even though you, I mean, for a lot of women, they don't look that much different. Like if you had right. a 9-year-old boy up against a 9-year-old girl,
right.
for a, like, at least for me,
I mean, today that's true for a lot of us ladies without much
no,
going on.
It's
but
same.
Like, it's not even the it's the perception, right? Isn't it? It's the gender. It's 100% gender that differentiates whether or not that's okay.
Completely. So this issue is a complicated one because it deals with law,
mm-hmm.
and so many of these laws are different state by state.
And disclaimer. We're not attorneys.
I am not a lawyer. This is
so
not.
So let's break it down as best you can. Right?
This is not legal advice. So please don't be like, oh, well, I listened to this podcast and they said it was legal for me to be topless.
Yeah.
Don't use that as a court defense. Right. It will not hold up. And so it's interesting that a lot of states, they differ in the laws of how this is treated. Like, for instance, Arizona, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, New York, South Carolina, Utah, Virginia, and Washington are the only states in the United States whose laws expressly differentiate breastfeeding from acts of public lewdness, right? And so those are the only states where if you were feeding a child in public and if you were, you know, being like lewd, quote unquote, in public, they would see those differently legally. So this is an issue that, you know, if you cross a border, can be one way in one state, can be another way in another state. Mm. There are actually communities of folks who have been advocating for public toplessness, like laws to be changed, who kind of really aggressively chart how it plays out in different states. So if you want to know the legality of whether or not you can go topless in your city or your state, you can go to gotopless.org because they are very meticulously charting the legality down to like different subdivisions and things of where you can go topless as a woman and where you can't.
Mm. So not only is this a modern day legal cluster, something I can't completely say on this podcast, but it's you know, it's such a clear reflection of America's discomfort and difference in opinions over nipples, whether they're on a man's body or a woman's body. But men actually went through the same fight back in the 1930s, which you can read more about thanks to the marvelous former host and founder, starter of this incredible podcast, Kristen Conger, writing for StuffMomNeverToldYou.com. You can find it on the blog. She wrote a great article about how American men won the right to go topless. And in fact, in the 1930s, there were lots of laws saying that male, you know, toplessness, mm-hmm. male nudity on the top was just as lewd as women. But when we started hitting the beach a bit more and bathing suits became a thing, there was a brief fight to free the nipple for men. And that brief fight was won swiftly in the courts, legally. And in the 1930s, male nipples really had their heyday on the silver screen. Kristen writes, Olympian Johnny Weissmuller wore nothing but a loincloth in 1932's Tarzan and the Apes. 2 years later, Clark Gable impressively sidestepped the Hays Codes, which were the laws outlawing male nipples for public display, with his famous undressing monologue to Claudette Colbert in It Happened One Night.
Oh.
So it's interesting how men's undershirts even fell after the film's release, and these sort of male swimmers in Coney Island sort of daringly flaunting their nipples, bucking the laws, bucking the shirtlessness bans, and finally after a series of fines and some advocacy on this issue, a judge overturned New York State's male shirtless ban in 1937. So male nips won the right to be on display in a short 7-year legal battle in a lot of ways, and male nipples were here to stay.
And I think it's interesting that, like, as it goes with many issues, women, of course, are kind of just catching up. You know, we are
not even held back, right?
Yeah, held back.
Like, I mean, it's not like we don't want that, right? I mean, it's just like, and also, here's the thing: people will say, and I remember when I was first getting hip to this issue, women's boobs are different. Boobs are sex objects. Boobs are sexual in nature
right.
when they're on a woman. And reality is, we've made them sexual,
right? And again, I mean, I just think it's very interesting in doing a little bit of research for this episode. One, when you think about how many sexualized images we see all the time and that we've taken
hamburger commercials, right, car commercials,
and we've taken like that somehow is okay. But you know, when you're like feeding a child or something in public, like that's not okay. Like I found that to be kind of fascinating and also just nonsensical. It seems so arbitrary how we've gotten ourselves into kind of a moral panic around something that should be so natural and, you know,
and
normal.
Every other part of your breast being out is fine. Under boob, side boob, top boob, cleavage, we love it all until you show some areola.
Once you hit the nip.
Isn't it Janelle Monáe who, in her song Yoga, says, "You cannot police me, so get off my areola."
I love
that. It's like just that one part of your breast becomes not acceptable anymore. Then you're like, you can be arrested.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting, again, is some of the legal information out there around nipples. The late Supreme Court Justice Scalia, in this landmark 1991 Supreme Court case, Barnes versus the Glenn Theater, it concerned the First Amendment and whether or not the government could outlaw certain forms of expressive content if it involved public nudity. And so in this ruling, which was like a landmark kind of case, Scalia found that, or he ruled that public nudity was just as immoral and lumped it alongside things like drug use, cockfighting, bestiality, which you think of as...
When we say cockfighting, we're talking about roosters.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Thank you for that.
We're talking about lewd acts, Sarah.
Sure, yeah, could be anything. Could be anything. But yeah, and so he lumped public nudity along with those like things that you think of as you know, things we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And another judge... He ruled that public nudity was connected to a rise in sexual assaults and things like other kinds of like, you know, illegal behavior. And what's interesting is that I couldn't find any research that showed those two things were connected, that public nudity and a rise in sexual assaults were
correlated.
They very well may be, but I couldn't find anything around that. And yeah, I found that very interesting, too, because when you look at these individual cases where people are cited by police for public nudity, they oftentimes go back to this idea of like, oh, well, we need to prevent traffic accidents, so we can't have women out here topless.
Exactly.
And in one New Hampshire town, they actually, the reason why they put a public nudity ban on the books in the first place was because they were having a big motorcycle event where lots of motorcyclists were coming in.
Sturgis Festival.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, well, we can't have motorcyclists, you know, we can't have women showing their boobs to motorcyclists and causing accidents.
Just for the record, I've been to an East Sturgis rally. It's a long story as to why that is a thing that has happened, but I went to one in Virginia, and guess what? All the men were positioning themselves on the side of the road and sort of fake not allowing people to pass until the women did show them their boobs.
So there were signs
at those festivals saying, show us your tits, raise your tops. And women everywhere were doing it.
Did you raise your top?
I did not. You know why? Because if I'm going to go topless, I'm going to go topless for me, not on command.
Yeah.
By a gang of motorcyclists. Yeah, I actually hid in the bed of a truck.
Yeah, I mean, I'll show them what I want to show them.
I mean, it was pretty intense. So talk about hypocrisy. You know, we're saying, oh, the paternalistic state, and this is where my anti-federalist bones get achy. Like here, as the government, we say you must wear your seatbelt. It's for your own protection. You must not drink and drive. It's for the protection of everyone. It's for the good of all. And oh, by the way, you must not show your nips if you're a woman, because it's for the good of all.
It's for the good of the public.
We're just trying to protect these distracted men.
I mean, part of me...
And we're trying to take care of you, ladies. It's very...
Benevolent.
Benevolent sexism 101.
Yeah, part of me kind of gets it, because I do think that if you were a topless woman walking down the street, I bet some driver would cause an accident. But that's his fault. And so a part of me gets where they're coming from, and that, you know, if women are walking around topless, frankly, I don't trust that men wouldn't be like running into light poles with their car and causing a public safety problem.
Until it was normal.
Right. Until it was normal.
Like,
and we'll never get to normal if we keep legislating it.
Exactly. And so I want to hear from our listeners from abroad. Tell us what it's like to live in a society that's not so drenched in our puritanical roots like it is here in the United States.
Totally. I want to hear all about this.
Yeah.
And so one thing I do need to state is that this issue, people have been arrested in modern times for this. So in New Jersey, this woman named Phoenix Feely, she served time in a county correctional facility in Freehold Township, New Jersey, after she refused to pay an $816 fine stemming from being arrested twice in the same day in 2008 while sunbathing in Spring Lake, New Jersey.
$800?
And, yeah, she basically was like, F your fine, I'm not paying this.
Right.
I should be able to go topless. And she argued that going topless is not the same thing as being nude. and that women, like men, should be able to bare their chests in public. And at her sentencing, she, you know,
has this great quote.
Yeah, it's crazy. So she says,
quote, "I refuse to pay a fine for an act that is legal for a man but is illegal for a woman." And I think that puts it perfectly. And that's all we're trying to say here. We're not saying that Bridget and I are dying to take off our tops the minute we walk out of the studio.
Oh, because I'm definitely not.
But when it comes to, like, straight up gender discrimination, how is this not a clear case of something that is legal for men and illegal for women? And people would argue that men and women's breasts look differently, but guess what? Across the full spectrum of bodies in this country, that is not necessarily true.
That is so not true. And I think, you know, another wrinkle of this topic is folks who don't follow along the gender binary, right?
Right. But,
like, folks who, like, we have such a vast rainbow of bodies that fall
yes.
along all kinds of
right.
Of lines, and this idea that we are legislating, but like our legislation has not caught up with the fact
right.
that is the case,
or
right?
Trans women,
exactly. And
yeah.
in California, just recently, they officially had determined that there are more than two genders. That is on their legal. That is a legal ruling that they
awesome.
Have found, and yet our nipple laws have not caught up with that. We still legislated along a binary when we have acknowledged as a society that that's
well,
not
Well, I don't
true.
Think all of us have.
Well, correct. Yeah,
but
yeah.
We're working on it.
We're getting there.
Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this hashtag Free the Nipple campaign and how social media has become the new arena for that's really a hotbed for this debate after a quick word from our sponsors.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
And we're back, and there is so much more to talk about.
Who knew nipples were this complicated?
I know, right? They don't seem that complicated, but so let's dive right into the hashtag Free the Nipple, which was coupled with a 2014 documentary, which frankly, all the buzz around the Free the Nipple campaign and that documentary is how I first learned about this issue and first became aware that this was an issue. And I'll be honest, when I saw this parade of topless women in New York City on the Free the Nipple movie trailer, I was thinking, oh my God, this is too far. This, like, I'm a feminist, I'm a progressive, but this is over the top. And my gut reaction was, you know, this is not the battle to be fighting right now. And I have to admit, I've come around, but I was initially, like, very skeptical that this should be a priority.
Yes, I agree with you, and my take is probably almost more extreme, and so some of y'all might be surprised to know this. I I'm a little bit of a prude or something. Like, I have a very gut reaction to public nudity.
Yeah.
I personally
You don't dig it.
I don't dig it, and I don't dig it for, like, very problematic reasons that I have, like, clearly internalized, right? This is one of those things that, like, it's very clear to me that my problem with it is that I have internalized some not great stuff from society around.
Is this religious, perhaps? It
perhaps is religious, because I'm a person of faith. And I think, you know, again, as someone who goes to a lot of protests and things like that, like, the campaign Femin, where it's these women who are topless and they write things on their bodies, I'm always, my first instinct is to be like, oh, I hate that. Like, put your shirt on. That is always my gut reaction.
Yeah.
And I have to challenge myself to, like, not have that reaction,
right,
and say, oh, this is a, you know, legitimate thing.
Well, I think it's good that we're acknowledging this, because internalized misogyny is so prevalent. And that's really what we're talking about. We've internalized messages about wrongness.
Yes.
That woman's body is not what we think of as appropriate. And meanwhile, you know, think about all the Kardashian photo shoots, which are like the new, and we can't even go there with, like, the problematic race component to this. But I'm thinking of the totally nude paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cover. And we're like, yeah, Kardashian, beautiful. I mean, racially,
yeah,
not okay, but
it's just interesting the kinds of nudity.
Context matters.
Yeah, the context matters so much. And it's interesting the kinds of nudity that we don't bat an eye at, and the kinds of nudity that we legislate, shame, you know.
Yeah.
But all of us do it. Like, we're all involved.
Right.
Like, it's
and I think body shaming has a lot to do with it, right?
Definitely.
Like,
and
what do you mean? You can walk around unapologetically topless and not conform to, like, standard model catwalk standards? Like, we're not okay with that.
Well, that's what's so interesting about that is that a political philosopher, Joel Feinberg, actually found that, or he argues that the reason why we legislate nudity in this way actually has little to do with public safety or doing what's good for the public. And it's actually about the fact that when feelings of shame, disgust, anxiety, guilt, when those are the kinds of feelings that are evoked by something, that's calls for a, like, that prompts a kind of legislation for that has nothing to do with public safety, right?
Right?
And so when someone has weird feels around someone who is topless,
yeah,
you know, legislators and lawmakers and folks who, like, make our laws feel the need to step in and legislate that feeling.
And we know that legislation and legislators has been dominated by white dudes,
yeah,
for as long as we've had a government.
Completely.
So the Free the Nipple campaign can be found at freethenipple.com. The sort of tagline here is, how far will you go for equality? It's about equality, empowerment, freedom. It's time. And they make a really compelling and interesting case for, you know, it's not okay for us to cheer women's bodies in one context and shame and legislate and just treat women's nipples, toplessness, as illegal, illicit, and lewd in another context. It's just total politicization? What is the word there?
It's
politicizing women's bodies that are anatomically functional, that are anatomically equal, and we should treat them that way.
Completely. And honestly, in as I said earlier, I was a bit skeptical as in terms of this as our, like, big feminist issue. But when I went to the Free the Nipple website, mm-hmm, something that I found really interesting was that they were advocating for the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, that would guarantee that men and women would finally be recognized as equals,
yes,
in the framework of the Constitution and under federal protection. And, you know, there are clearly so many issues and ways in which women and men are not equal. You know,
we should. Is there an episode on the ERA? Just for the record, the Equal Rights Amendment is just an amendment proposed to the United States Constitution, which has been in political gridlock since what? I think the 1960s is,
yes,
when it was first introduced. Almost passed and didn't. It would have legally stated in our Constitution that men and women must be treated equally. And guess what? Our Constitution and government currently does not explicitly say that.
And what's even more fascinating is that the United States is only one of the seven countries in the world, along with Iran, Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan, Tonga, and Palau, that have not ratified the UN Convention on Eliminating All Forms of Discrimination Against Women.
Wow.
And so...
So before we get a little high on our haunches, and I know a lot of conservative women criticizing Hillary's campaign, and I get it, like, it's fine to differ on politics, but I've heard from a lot of conservative feminists who say, let's focus on women who are actually oppressed abroad.
Because, right,
here in the United States, we are so lucky, we're so privileged, and in many ways, economically, that is true, not for all women, but in many ways, as a nation, that's true. But hello, look, listen to where we're at. As a country, we haven't explicitly gotten on board with this. We are so far behind in so many ways.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right. And again, I mean, this is an issue. It may seem small because it's right. just two bits of skin, but it's a very, I think it's an interesting case study in terms of how we think about
yeah.
gender equality, that this is a very obvious and explicit and overt way in which women and men are not legislated the same.
And how our bodies are policed.
Correct. So I think yeah. like, you know, it even though I was skeptical at first, it's true. I mean, it's inarguably true that this is
overt discrimination
against women.
So let's talk about social media, because I think social media is where this issue has blown up, specifically with Instagram. But let's talk through some of the platforms and their policies already.
Yeah, so I did a little digging. And so if you're curious, you know, what you can do and what you can show and how much skin you can show, here's a little breakdown of where we're at. So Tumblr and Twitter, anything goes. You can post whatever you want. Nipples.
Well, nips.
Nip-wise. Yeah. Nip-wise. So go nuts on both of those platforms. On Facebook, Facebook used to have a no nipple policy of any kind. Now they are allowed if it's an image of someone breastfeeding. And so if you're a mom who's posting a picture of, you know, like my friend from earlier, like that was so strange to me that it was not a sexual image. It was her. It was an image of her celebrating her pregnancy, and that she was banned from Facebook for it. So
now
it's fine on Facebook as long as you're breastfeeding. On Instagram, they are super, super not allowed. And we're going to get into sort of some interesting case studies of that. I did find this interesting. According to Hyperallergic, quote, LinkedIn's policy on nipples is unclear. So test it out. Let us know what happens.
And so let's talk about the drama on Instagram, because context, it's like, who comes up with this stuff? But context really matters on Instagram. So a piece of art, a painting or a photo or even a t-shirt or a bikini featuring nipples, like if you wore a nude bikini that had a photorealistic nipple breast on it, you can get away with that on Instagram.
Which should just show you how absurd this rule
right.
is.
But your nips, like actual nips, not allowed.
No, not allowed in any context.
Unless you're a dude.
So the guy from Orange is the New Black, Matt McGorry, is that his name?
Yeah.
He actually posted a picture, which I think really illustrated the ridiculousness of this policy. It's a picture of him topless, and he has cropped out his own male nipples. And on one side, he has cropped in a picture of Miley Cyrus's nipple. And on the other side, it's a picture of Chrissy Teigen's nipple. If you could see me in the studio, I'm illustrating this with my hands in a very awkward way. But that picture is allowed, even though he has exposed female nipples. But because he is a man, that picture is allowed, which is absurd.
Which he did just to point out the absurdity.
Yeah,
it,
and I think
it's a good illustration.
Yeah, and this policy on Instagram even gets to the point where a Vogue editor and artist, Grace Coddington, was kicked off of Instagram after posting a doodle, an image. It wasn't even like a hyper-realistic, like it was a very, like a cartoon of herself topless. And she was banned from Instagram for that.
What on earth?
Yeah, this should
just doesn't make any
go
sense.
To show you how arbitrary and ridiculous this policy is.
Well, I think it's funny the folks who are pushing the envelope here and trying to point out the absurdity behind it. There's a Instagram account called genderless_nipples, which has been criticizing and sort of highlighting the ridiculousness of Instagram's strict stance on female nudity by posting hyper zoomed in images of nipples. Look at this one, B, with a nice piercing that says bite me.
I like that nipple piercing.
I know. So we've got a super close up photo of a nipple that makes it impossible to tell if it was a male or a female nipple. And they're getting through. They're sort of bucking the rule here. There's one other Instagram kerfuffle. Did you have one that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, well, I want to hear where you're going.
Okay. So there's one other Instagram interesting story here that I think is really important to acknowledge, especially for women without nipples. And I'm thinking specifically around breast cancer survivors post-mastectomy. There was a really beautiful Instagram account and a bunch of women who are breast cancer survivors who posted bravely, frankly, in this hyper judgy, you know, policing women's bodies context, photos of post-mastectomy breasts and sort of chests. And specifically, there's an interesting account around Well, here's a person, specifically Amy Black, who is a breast cancer survivor, who got a post-mastectomy nipple tattoo. And you can get sort of nipples tattooed on. You can get really beautiful, incredible art.
Wow, that is...
Look at this art. Like...
That is so powerful.
Right? I mean, way to reclaim your body.
I have chills looking at this image.
Exactly. And saying, like, I'm going to do something that makes me feel beautiful and reclaiming sort of that space on her body in her own way and whatever that looks like for you. Women without nipples, women without breasts, you know, if you identify as a woman, right, there's also surgery to transition to being male without breasts, but that's a whole other bag. These women were kicked off Instagram. So... reconstructed breasts with tattoos celebrating breast cancer survival was banned by Instagram.
That is maddening.
What the hell?
I have another kind of wrinkle. It's not nipple related, but I think it does show how Instagram does seem sort of hell-bent on policing women's bodies. So in 2015, an artist and photographer posted a picture of herself on Instagram of her laying in bed with a period blood stain on her pants on the bed. And she's fully clothed. Like, she's wearing long pants and a t-shirt. Like, fully clothed. And Instagram deleted this picture and deactivated her account.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, it's interesting to me that Instagram is policing what should be, you know, non-controversial parts of body ownership, right? Bodies... menstruate once a month.
Yeah.
It's no secret. Sorry, y'all. It happens. And the fact that Instagram is like, oh, no. We can't have... And another kind of interesting point to make about this is that Facebook owns Instagram, and Facebook often has really disturbing, like, images and videos of people being murdered, people being tortured, and yet nipples, menstruation,
well,
these are things you can't, you know...
And I think the counter-argument would be that this is a private company enterprise, that this is not a right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a right.
People would say that this is our platform. We can censor it the way we see fit. But with the ubiquity of it, is that really true? Like, it's really interesting. But also how we treat women's bodies very differently.
And I don't, it's just fascinating to me. So I don't mean to say that Instagram and Facebook should change their, like, I mean, not, so I'm not making the point that they should be, like, changing their corporate policies around how they deal with this. I'm just pointing out that, like, it just seems absurd and there seems to be no rhyme or reason to what they allow and what they don't allow. And I think that says something about our society and women. It's just very...
And I would go a step further and say they should change it to just treat men and women's bodies the same. Here's a quote that Lena Esko, the founder of Free the Nipple, gave to Mike.com in this great article that I was just... pulling from around how Instagram banned photos of breast cancer survivors. She says, quote, "Equality in terms of toplessness applies to the censorship of women's bodies on social media, the issue of equal pay, or the stigma against breastfeeding in public. It all falls down into the same category, which is equality. So when we police women's bodies differently than men's on the law books or on social media, which is a huge way that our communities, that our world communicates nowadays, we are reinforcing this idea that men and women have different rights. And that's messed up.
It is messed up. And I think we're going to talk a little bit more about how the various ways in which this is a real gender discrimination issue after this quick break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
And we're back. We were just talking about nipples and the nipple panic they tend to inspire.
The drama.
The drama around nipples. And so I wanted to talk about sort of what can be done. So if this is an issue that you want to get involved with, that you want to make noise about, there are ways and there are groups sort of doing that work. Mm. And so one thing I would suggest is going to gotopless.org, which really is a one-stop shop for all your nipple-related activism.
Right.
And then I would say watch the documentary.
Free the Nipple. It's streaming on Hulu, and I think there's other places online like Amazon Video that you can also find it, or on iTunes and Google Play. And it's a really great rundown of not only the whack history behind the discriminatory practices around enforcement and what's deemed lewd, but also a real chronicling of the movement, right? The movement, the march, the renaissance around women advocating for the right to go topless and not be deemed a criminal for doing so.
Yeah, and speaking of being deemed a criminal, in one county in New Hampshire, state representatives tried to ban female toplessness statewide, and this bill to ban it was killed in the House subcommittee after its members found out that, as written, a second offense would be a felony and could require those convicted to register as sex offenders,
which is absurd. Right, which has huge ramifications on someone's employment eligibility and life writ large for showing off what is publicly deemed appropriate for men and not women. How is that not discriminatory?
It's so discriminatory. And again, I mean, winding up on a sex offender list because you know, for sunbathing, I think is really something that we should be. I mean, the fact that that was even something that was considered in a modern day America, I think, is absurd.
And that's also why it's so important to understand enforcement, understand the very disjointed legality around this, which you were telling me off air for a second about. Was it New Hampshire?
Yeah, so New Hampshire is kind of a hotbed of case studies
nipple
around
law.
Nipple law.
Live
and public...
free or die, unless you're a woman with nipples, right?
Yes. And so what's interesting is there was a group of women in 2016 who were sunbathing in New Hampshire. They were in Laconia, New Hampshire, sunbathing topless, and they had no complaints. Everything was fine. Then they went to another part of New Hampshire, Guilford, New Hampshire, topless to watch a fireworks display, and someone called the police. The two women were cited. They were given citations, and it was determined that because there is no law banning female toplessness in the state criminal code, there could be no local ordinances that criminalized, you know, public toplessness of women. And what is also so strange is that, weirdly, the people of this town
came to the women's defense.
No, they were like, no.
Oh.
We want this to be, like they tried to get the
judge to, a municipal law against nudity.
They wanted
women,
the judge to continue to uphold this citation, but the judge was like, no, I'm not going to reverse my decision. There's no state law against it, so they're we can't cite them. But it's interesting that you find state law bumping up against city law and local law.
And enforcement arresting anyway.
Correct. So even in places like New York City, where it's technically allowed to be a woman who's topless on the street, police officers need to issue reminders that they can't arrest women for simply going shirtless in locations where it would be permissible to do so if they were men. And so the New York Times reports, simply exposing your breasts in public is not a crime. And so you have people...
So you have to remind cops because otherwise...
Otherwise they'll treat it as if it's a crime, and people will call the police and be like, oh, this woman is topless on the street. And everybody just needs reminders that, hey, this is not a crime.
Wow.
And that just should go to show you how kind of you find all these different laws plus public opinion bumping up against each other with this issue.
It's so bizarre. And I think of New Hampshire as the most interesting place for this to all be going down because it is such a libertarian state where they basically are like, we don't want government interfering in our lives as much as possible. We don't want government. Don't they have sales tax there?
Yeah,
like their whole phrase is live free or die.
It's a little,
and yet they're like, let's police women's bodies more, shall
we? Yeah.
That's
so live free or die unless you are a female sunbather on the beach.
Right. Or just strolling around town with the nips out. And I think it's important to acknowledge the homology behind this. And so homology is a term I first came across in Dr. Emily Nagoski, the sex expert's book about, it's called Come As You Are. It's a fascinating read. I highly recommend it, about female sexuality and sexual pleasure. And what she made me realize is that men and women come from the same genealogy, right? We come from the same DNA. Our bodies have this existence of shared ancestry that is the reason why our bodies are mirrored. Our bodies are comparable. And she actually goes into great detail about how women's sex organs and men's sex organs are way more similar than you think they are. And I couldn't help but think about that when we think about why men have nipples in the first place. Like, why do men have nipples if there's no, function, quote unquote, function to them? And it's because of homology. It's because of the historical sort of equality between our organs and how we're produced as human beings in gestation and in development. So it's just a good reminder that all the stigma, all the drama, all the sexualization, all the titillating components to women's nipples are 100% society putting its perspective on your body. Like, men and women's nipples come from the same DNA. Men and women's nipples are not as different as we're made to think that they actually are. And all the, like, the sexiness of women's nipples is someone else's judgment put upon your body.
Totally. And I think that's, I mean, I keep coming back to this because I think it's one way that it plays out so obviously is with breastfeeding, right? Like, that we, as a society, have, you know, made breasts such a titillating thing when they shouldn't be. And I think it was Amy Adams who talked about in People magazine about after becoming a mom and starting to breastfeed that she was like, yeah, I mean, the purpose of my body is to not look good and is not to look good in a bathing suit. It's to feed my child at this point. And, you know, she was like, yeah, I'm more concerned with that functionality than, like, you know, being in a bikini or what have you. And so, you know, I mean, there are so many women out there who have been kicked off of planes, kicked out of restaurants for simply
breastfeeding.
And it's such a, you know, it should be a normalized thing. It's healthy for the baby. People are like, oh,
girl,
you know,
breastfeeding politics are hardcore. We're going to get some mail for that. We're going to get some mail for that.
I should say. I probably said the wrong thing. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, we're going to do a whole episode around breastfeeding politics because I know it's tricky. Right. My mom is a pediatrician and she is often advocating for women's rights to breastfeed, and as am I, or not to breastfeed. Exactly. All the things. But yeah, I think that when you have these people who are like, oh, you should cover up or do that in the bathroom. Like, would you want to eat your lunch in a bathroom stall? No. Gross.
I know. It's just everyone policing women's bodies just like they police women's speech. And I have to give one more shout out to Kristen Conger, who did a really great YouTube video on the question I was just discussing. Why do men have nipples? She was actually on Brain Stuff's channel on YouTube. So another How Stuff Works podcast. Brain Stuff. Just Google why do men have nipples. You'll find Kristen talking through that issue on more of a level too. So I just want to throw that in there because I've just mentioned it before. But yes, and to get us off breastfeeding.
You were like, abort,
I'm sweating.
Abort.
I'm like, yeah.
No, I know it's a minefield.
No, it's great though. So last thing we want to just shout out to those of us who are like, oh my goodness, I need to take action to free the nipple. I didn't realize this was such a big deal and such an issue, and it is. There's an upcoming event where you can do just that. It's called Go Topless Day, and it comes up every August in, what is it, the Tuesday closest to
Women's Equality Day,
which
marks the anniversary of women getting the right to vote.
Right. And so all over the country, you might find Free the Nipple Days and marches and protests or demonstrations where women are encouraged and welcome to go topless. And men, who, there are many men who are here to support women, and we could talk about many complex reasons why, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt and assume that they're all there to support equality. But there are men who are encouraged to wear bras and bikini tops and show up with their nipples covered and see how wonderfully comfortable that can be. So Go Topless Day. It's coming up in August. Check it out. Get out to a demonstration if you're so inclined. You also can go and not be topless. That's okay, too. It's just an opportunity to talk to women, to talk to men, to talk about equality, and to talk about how we can raise more awareness, especially amongst legislators, and be a part of the activist community in making the case for equality on the books when it comes to how we treat men and women's nipples. You know, we want to hear from you, especially if you have a challenging relationship with your nipples. Like, how do you feel about nipples? Are you a survivor of breast cancer? Are you post-mastectomy? Are you a trans woman? I mean, what do nipples mean to you? And is it important that this is something that is legalized for women in the same way that it is for men? I think there's a lot more to unpack that, frankly, Bridget and I didn't have time to get to in today's episode, but we hope this gave us a good starting point for our continued conversation on social, and we cannot wait to hear what Free the Nipple means to you. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.